The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. What great words. What great words of trust. What great words of faith. What great words of assurance for us. And as we come to look at your word today, may we bring that into what it may teach us about the subject of grace. And I pray this in the grace maker's name, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. It's always nice to get away for a few days. And a few years ago, probably about maybe three or four at this stage, the family and I went over to visit my cousin, who lives just around King's Cross in London, if you've ever been there. And over a couple of days, we did the touristy thing. We visited the sites, we went and saw the things that we wanted to see. And one of the things that Vita and I had arranged was a trip to go and see Shrek the Musical. It's a great thing to go and see a musical. And we didn't tell our kids before we went. We came around the corner, happened, of course, to see the theatre, and then we said to them we were going to go and see Shrek the Musical. All good. And so we went to the front door. We presented our tickets. There was a man there with one of those little bleepy ticket reading machines, and the light went red. And he looked at us and we looked at him, and he scanned the ticket again and the light went red. And then we looked at the date on the ticket. Somebody had managed to book them for the previous week. My face dropped. But rather than send us away, we were brought over to the ticket office. Now, they didn't try and sell us a new ticket, but the guy was there, said, look, just hang on for about 10 or 15 minutes. So we stood there, and of course I'm thinking, oh, what a great loss this is going to be. The kids were disappointed. And then about 5 minutes before the show started, the guy called me over to the box office, and he presented me with four new tickets for that performance. And not only that, but he gave us tickets for our own little private box. We had paid for the cheapest tickets, and he had given us tickets for the private box, and we got to see Shrek the Musical. Far more expensive than what we ever would have afforded, and it made our trip. But here's the thing I want to bring us into our passage. The theatre realised that we'd made a genuine mistake. We weren't trying to chance our arm. They could have said to us, tough luck there. It says on the terms and conditions. Actually, it says on the date, and you've missed that. Tough luck. But what did they do? They showed some common sense. They showed some compassion. They could see the disappointment on our faces. And they dealt with us in a caring way. And it left a huge impression on us from our trip to London. Now, it doesn't always work out like that. But this secular example that I'm giving, it provides a challenge for us as a church community in how we go about our business. How we go about our business as the people of God. And of course, it's backed up, as we're going to see scripturally, from today's passage in John chapter 5. So can I encourage you to turn to the weekly sheet of the Pew Bible for a few moments as we look at the passage. Just to bring us up to date, we were journeying through John before Lent. We took a break over the six Sundays in Lent. And then we came back to the end of John's Gospel last Sunday, where we spent time at the end of John's Gospel looking at one of the post-resurrection appearances, John chapter 20. But we were reminded at the end of John's Gospel that the purpose of his writing the Gospel was to encourage us to learn about Jesus, to explore the person of Jesus, so that we might recognize who he is, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, so that we can have life and eternal life in his name. So all good. So we're going to pick up where we left off before Lent in chapter 5. Again, just a reminder, Jesus has spent time in the previous chapter with the Samaritan woman. He's at the well. And among other things, we learned from that passage that Jesus is prepared to go beyond the boundaries, to go beyond the social norm, to reach out and to love people. And as we continue into chapter 4 and 5, Jesus shows that again and again. At the end of chapter 4, he heals an official's son. And then he heals a man who is lame beside a healing pool, a paralyzed man, but has never been able to get as far as the waters when they are stirred up. And Jesus heals him with these wonderful words, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." Now you would think, wouldn't you, that all would be queuing up to praise Jesus, that all would be amazed by what Jesus has done and has been doing, that all would be proclaiming him a great man, an amazing man, that all would be saying, "Thank you, Jesus. Praise God for all that you are doing in his name." But as we pick up our passage, that's not the case. And the criticism comes, if you have the passage in front of you there, in verse 16. And it's surprising. It comes from the Jewish leaders. What does it say there? It says, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. The Jewish leaders began to persecute him. Now, let me be even more clear. This wasn't the secular Jewish leaders. This was the church leaders. They were the ones that were persecuting Jesus. Jesus was doing incredible things in the name of God. He was teaching, he was healing, he was telling people about God. And the church leaders, the Jewish leaders, begin to persecute him. What's that all about? Why are they doing that? Well, in verse 16 and verse 18, we see on the surface of things, two things that they are leveling against Jesus. They're saying to him that Jesus was doing a lot of these things on the Sabbath, healing on the Sabbath. And verse 18, not only we are told was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making him equal with God. So working on the Sabbath, blasphemy. And in their defense, we might say, well, they are just standing up for what they believe. The commandments, after all, say that you shall not take God's name in vain, or that you shall not have any other gods. So Jesus was breaking that commandment, wasn't he? And they say that you are to keep the Sabbath day holy. So we might say that the religious leaders are simply protecting the laws of God, the ones that God has given. And there is merit in what they're doing. So I've no problem on one level with the Jewish leaders, if that is their true motivation. And we will see, sadly, it's not their true motivation. In verse 18, we read, unbelievably, that they tried all the more to kill Jesus. So not only do they want to call Jesus to task, they want to literally stone him on the spot. And this was their real motive. They were threatened by Jesus. They were threatened by all he was doing and saying. So they were simply not just protecting the law. They wanted to get rid of him to protect their own place and their own position. All about power. And they wanted to see him stoned to death. And for me, the sad part is that their total disregard of what Jesus is doing, they miss the grace. They miss the real heart of what the story is all about. And this is the real teaching point that I want to draw out for us today, as we come to learn from the passage, is that they miss the grace. They miss the grace that Jesus shows. Jesus wasn't intentionally challenging the law. He simply saw someone in need and he loved them. He showed them grace. And for me, that is why I love Jesus. That is why I am attracted to him, not only in terms of salvation, but why I'm attracted to him as a person. Jesus is a risk taker. He is a rule breaker. And he is a grace maker. Risk taker, rule breaker. But he is a grace maker. So what do we learn from the passage? Well, the first thing I want to emphasize is that rules are important. I am not in one way minimizing the rules that are there. God's laws are important. As a Christian, I believe that God, through his word, has given us a structure. He has given us a way of life. He has given us good boundaries to live within. And I fully sign up to those and ascribe to them. But what we learn here is that as we try to live our lives daily by God's rules, by God's teachings, that grace should not be left out. Now, I should say, at times the church and its leaders need to stand firm. Pray for the General Synod this week. There are some very difficult things that are coming up that are challenging what God teaches. So there are times to stand up. But amidst it all, we must not miss grace. So for me, this passage is one of grace, which doesn't undermine living by God's laws. We as a church, as a community, as people, must not be consumed or self-righteous. So much that we stop loving people, that we stop notice what is going on in the lives of those around us. I'm sure I've said this many times before, but our churches should always be places of grace, where we are loved, invited, and included without fear of judgment or self-righteousness, that through our words, our deeds, and our actions, we receive God's grace and we share God's grace for all. So here's what I want to leave us with as we leave this passage. Jesus is a risk taker, rule breaker, but grace maker. Living like Jesus, I wonder, are we, as the people of the Virginia group of parishes, are we equally risk takers, rule breakers, and grace makers? Are we a community of grace? And who can we show grace to today? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the rules, for the boundaries, for the things that through your word you give us to make life better. And yet, as we seek to live as Christians modeling Jesus, may we also be prepared to reach out and to show grace as a church community, as a community, people in the community, showing grace to those around us, so that many may come and know the real grace maker, Jesus. And I pray this in his precious name. Amen.